I have had to do a lot of repenting in Colossians chapter 3. And I'm afraid I ain't done yet. So, and if you are in the same shape, well, wonderful. And I have been told by a very dear person that I needed to stay on the men as hard as I've been on the women. And I'll do my best to live. I mean, I'll do my best with what I was asked to do. She's my buddy. She's my buddy. Colossians chapter 3. I want to remind us, you know, we have some scripture, and I'm not trying to rush nothing. I'm not trying to drag either. I'm not trying to belittle nobody. But I want us to get the depth of the scripture. I don't want to be guilty of just reading over it. All right. We're studying the Bible. This is Bible study. We're studying the Bible. And if we spend 10 weeks on one verse, then so be it. If we spend 3 weeks on one word, so be it. The Bible's that important. I have an every word Bible. My Bible is worthy enough that I need to be careful when I read it, that I read it correctly, that I don't skip a word, and I'm guilty about this. I got me a thing on my computer, that I can learn to pronounce the words. I type the word in. And like some of these names and stuff, I type it in and I tell it to pronounce it, and it talks to me and it'll tell me how to pronounce it. The only bad part is I forget it by the time I get in the pulpit, but I'm trying to learn. I mean, I'm trying to make sure that I got an every word Bible. Now, I believe I have. That's why I'm against that's one of the reasons that I'm against all these perverted versions, because of the changes. So I want to make sure that the Bible I have, that I am cautious about it being an every word Bible, that every word is important. The ye's, the these, all of these things, if you know what ye and thee and thou and all mean, that has to be there because of the singular and the plural. And how it's addressed and how it reads. Everybody understand? So there's reasons for that. So we're going to look at the scripture, and if we're a while on a verse, then we'll just be there. Okay. But Colossians chapter 3, I told you, would be a hard part in a sense, because it's what we must do. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that it's up to us, but can I tell you this? There is parts that the Lord will not do. All right, the Lord will not save us against our will. Everybody knows that. Even though, now the Lord is capable and able. He is omnipotent. That means he has all power. He can, it's nothing that he can't do as far as power goes. He's omnipresent. He's every present. He's ever present, everywhere present at all times. All right. Think about that. I mean, this is the God we serve, and he's omniscient. There's nothing he don't know. Okay. But he will not save us against our will. Okay. He will not send a saved person to hell. He will not do that. All right. So there's some things that God will not do. And there's some things he will do. Okay. He saves us for eternity. These are the things he does. But then he gives us some things that we must do. All right. All right. He can make us walk a straight line. He can make us. If he can make animals talk and all these things in the scripture that we talk about when Balaam was there on, and I mean, you think about the significance of these things. If he can get a whale to swallow a man and taxi him from Tarsus to Nineveh. Anybody wants to know how far it is from Tarsus to Nineveh? It's three wheels journey. It's a 3 day journey by whale if you go by that. That's how far it is. I mean, if you can get an animal, this is a God we serve, you understand? And then he tells us for us to do this. Are you following me? Then he's not going to leave us alone to do it, because he tells us, without me, you can do nothing. But so what we got to do is, men and women, when it comes to what we read in the epistles, these is not above, this is not super Christianity, this is normal Christianity, walking with Christ. Everybody understand that? Do y'all understand that? This is us walking with Christ. Now, that's what we're supposed to. While we're here, we're supposed to be walking with Christ. So that's what the epistle shows us, that we walk with Christ. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians shows us how to walk with Christ. We know that. Hebrews magnifies Christ and shows us the power of Christ in us. All right? We can see all that. 1 John will tell us how much love we got. James will tell us how bad our tongue is. I mean, the scripture shows us how to live. 1 and 2 Peter shows us about the home, shows us about the workplace, shows us about how he supplies us everything to live a godly life, tells us about the second coming. I mean, everything laid out there gives us what we need to live the way he wants. So we can do it. So when we teach these things, don't think, I can't do that. If we rebel in any way, it's because we rebel against God. All right, I understand that. So I just want to encourage you, this can be done. This can be done. But can I tell you this? We got to change from the way we was taught. We got to change from the way we was raised. We got to change from the way our culture speaks to us. To live for Christ, it's a life in Christ. It's not a life in the world. For our life is Christ. Everybody understands that. So, and I know you know these things. I'm just trying to encourage you and help you along. Okay? Is everybody all right with that? All right, well, let's pray together, and then we'll look at some scripture. Father, we thank you. You're so good to us in every way. And I fall short. Lord, I could go back and just stay in Romans all the time, that there's none righteous, no, not one, and just to keep looking at me. And Lord, I can go back and look at the fruit of the Spirit and go back and look at the fruit of the flesh, and that's where I live more than doing the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't want that, Lord. I want to be what you want me to be. I desire that, but boy, I'm weak. I can't do it by myself. I got to have you. And Lord, these people tonight, those listening, those here, those that'll listen on the webpage later, Lord, we got to have you. And Lord, I pray this evening that you might cleanse us, help us to walk with you, hear you, be led of you, and Lord, be obedient to thy word. Help us to be better husbands, be better wives. Lord, help us to be better parents. Help us to be better workers, better servants. Help us to be better citizens. Lord, help us to be better children of God. Lord, I pray that we might be pleasing unto you most of all. Now, Lord, please cleanse my mind. Clean me to where there'll be no hindrances. Fill me up with the Holy Spirit. May the scripture ring true in our hearts and our minds tonight. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at our theme verse, if we would, for this chapter, Colossians 3, verse 4. All right. And I hope you have this underlined. You should, if you ain't already, you ought to underline. But let's look at chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, we just need to underline that phrase, who is our life. When Christ, who is our life, that's the life. Christ is our life. It's that Christ might be glorified in my life, that he might be, that I might be led of him, that I might be pleasing unto him, that everything I do might be for Christ. Now, you think about when Christ, who is our life. Now, I know, I'm not taking that out of context, because it says, when he shall appear, then shall we appear also in glory. I understand what he's saying there, but that phrase is separated, who is our life. When Christ, who is our life. Just make sure that you understand that. That is Christ in our life. Then if we go back down to verse 23, 17 and 23 both, let's look at 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We got to remember that everything we do it to the Lord, for the Lord, of the Lord, by the Lord, because of the Lord. Why? Because Christ is our life. All right? It's Christ. Now, I got to learn to get shut of Mark. You got to learn to get shut of whoever you are. And let it be Christ. Let it be Christ. When you see me, you got to see Christ. When you hear me speak, you got to hear Christ. When you watch me walk, you got to watch Christ. Now, that's what we ought to do. Okay, now, sometimes we may do it, sometimes we may not. But that's our life. Everybody understand that? So we got to have that basis before we do anything. Now, we're looking at verse 19. All right, Colossians 19. Let's read 18 for all the ladies' sake. Let's read 18. All right, and we'll read 18 and 19 together here, okay? It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. All right, now remember this. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands, all right, as is fit in the Lord, okay? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, we've done a look at this submission, and we got to continue with the word submission. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If I go too fast, if I get excited or anything tonight, y'all just tell me slow down, all right, on Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's start at verse 18, because this has got to be the key. Now, we're talking about our life being with Christ. Everybody with me there? Talk to me if you're with me. Our life is Christ. Our life is Christ. Now, look at this in verse 18, Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But look at this. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, that there's a key there. We need to understand we need filled with, we need Spirit-filled lives. If we're going to walk with Christ, we need Spirit-filled lives. We can't live ungodly in the world and expect to do the things the Lord wants us to do. We can't do it. We're going to have a Spirit-filled life. That's how He directs us. The Holy Spirit directs us through His Spirit, okay? We have His written word. It speaks to us. We have His Spirit lives inside of us. We got Christ in us, hope of glory, all right? We're taught and given everything by Him to live the godly life that He wants us to live, and He says be filled with the Spirit. So that's going to make it, should I say, easier if we're living a Spirit-filled life, reading His word, praying to Him, praying, asking for the leadership, and then obeying. See, we can pray for leadership all we want. We can ask God to give us everything we want, but if we're not obedient, we ain't going to get none of it. Everybody understand? We're going to have to be obedient. Now, let's look on, verse 19. Ephesians 5, 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, we don't want to forget this. Now, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, but yet it still says submitting yourselves one to another. We cannot forget that it's not just love, but it's submitting and it's giving over or helping. There's no hierarchy here. We're talking about the home. When we talk about husbands love your wives and wives submit to your own, we're talking about the home. And we're talking about the core of the church. The local church is the home. And we're talking about the representation of Christ and His love for us when we talk about the home. All right, when we talk about the wife submitting to the husband, we're talking about the Christian submitting to the Father, to the Lord. All right. And when we talk about the husband loving the wife, we're talking about Christ loving us as a church. So the comparison is direct. It's not just a type. It's a direct comparison. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's a direct comparison. Okay. And then when wives submit themselves to the husbands, then we can take that as a direct comparison to me submitting myself to my bridegroom, Christ. Everybody follow that? So it's not just wives submitting to husbands. I need, Brother Rick, we had it for a thing, for a memory verse in Sunday school for a long time, that we're espoused to what? In Corinthians, what's it say? What's it say, Rick? To one what? One husband. We're espoused. Who is? I am. I'm espoused to one husband, Christ. Guess who you're espoused to? One husband, Christ. Guess who you're supposed to submit to? One husband, your own husband, Christ. So we see a direct comparison. It's not just a type or a shadow. It's a direct comparison. Everybody understand that? So that's how serious this is. Okay? That's how serious. Now, let's look on. It says, submitting yourselves one to another. Now, we get that. Remember what we said? Let's go back. I don't want to forget none of this. So I want to get my paper out here and make sure that I don't forget this. We got wives submitting to your husbands, right? Then we got children obeying the parents. So that's children submitting to their parents, correct? All right. Then we got in Hebrews 13 where it says, obey them that have rule over you. We have the church members, all right, submitting to the church elders or the leaders. The leadership. That's just a normal, that's the way the Lord has laid things laid out in leadership. Don't make me better than you. Listen, I want everybody to understand, I'm the pastor. Yes, I'm the pastor. I don't have to go around with the big sign, I'm the pastor. We all know I'm the pastor. I don't lord that over you. If I do, you better tell me because that's not ever my intention. Okay? I'm no better than you, but I'm in a different position. Okay? Now, if y'all would like to do mine, that's fine. I'll give y'all the counseling. All right. So we got wives submitting to the husbands, children submitting to the parents, believers submitting to the elders or leaders of the church. Then in Romans 13, we got citizens submitting to the state or the government. Okay. We got, 1 Peter and even Colossians here will talk to us about, employees submitting to the employer. Okay. And then here in Ephesians, where it says submitting yourself one to another, that's all of us submitting to all of us. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
That's all of us submitting to all of us. That you're no better than her, and her no better than him, and him, and him. That we're not, and we're not looking for the leadership, we're not looking for the authority, we're looking for the fellowship and communion that Christ has with us, and we have with Christ, and we have that in the church. That's what this is teaching us. Right. Do they understand?
Yeah.
But it's got to start. You got to start it in a place, okay? Now let's look on here. We're back in Ephesians. We'll stay there just for a moment. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, remember, when you submit, and that submit is not something that's easily done, you gotta do it on a purpose. It's an on purpose thing that you gotta continually do, alright? And you do it because that's the same as you submitting to Christ. If you can't submit to your husband, then you're not obedient to Christ. You're not going to be spiritual. You're not walking with the Lord. You're walking in direct rebellion.
That's right.
All right? But look, it goes further than that. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You understand? These are direct comparisons of Christ and the husband and the church and the wife. Everybody see that? These are direct comparisons. Talk to me if you understand what I'm saying. These are not shadows and types. These are direct comparisons. Okay? Examples, if you would. Now, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, you see the comparison. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now we're going to get into the meat now for the husbands because this is where it all began. Adam was created first. All right? He was created first in leadership. He was created first in leadership above everything that was on the earth. He had dominion over everything that was on the earth. Everybody understand that? Every animal was under Adam's control. He had dominion. He was the leader of the whole outfit. Every bird, every butterfly, every bumblebee, he was the leader. All right? But he didn't have nobody for him, so God made him a helpmeet. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. Alright, he had somebody to help meet his needs and complete him. But the leadership never changed. The leadership has always been the man over the woman. Okay? It's always been that way. She was the follower, he was the leader. But there was no strife. There was no conflict. It was all willingly done because there was no sin. There was not a conflict. It was not even, it never entered her mind for her not to follow her husband and her husband not to lead in the right way because there weren't no sin. There was no conflict. All right? And we'll look here in a minute if we can get to it. Something happened. And we'll see it here in a minute, and I'll give you just a highlight real quick. Satan didn't come to the man, the leader, to deceive. He come to a follower. Are you hearing me? Everybody get that? When Satan come, he didn't come to a, he come to a follower. Why? Because that's what she was made to do. She was made to follow. She wasn't made to lead. Adam was made to lead. Are you hearing me now? She was made to follow and be submissive. Well, when that's why she was slicked. All right? And then there was a role reversal because then she started dictating to her husband because it says she took the fruit and gave to her husband with her. When sin come in. Are we okay? We'll get to that more deeper in a minute, maybe. But that's how come things are switched around and we've had that. We've been in the bind ever since. Okay? Now the reason we've been in the bind is because the submissive wife, okay, and the loving leader got out of sort. Okay?
Yes.
Are we okay? This is why Christ is the second Adam and had to die for us to get everything back in order. Everybody understand? First man Adam put us in, sin, the second man Adam brought us deliverance. Everybody understands? That's where you, how your scripture comes together. We okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that just highlights. Okay, we'll get to that deeper maybe in a little bit. All right. But what we want to look at now, back in Colossians chapter 3. Everybody with me? Everybody understanding me tonight? I'm not trying to be no hurry. I want to be simple and be try to be very, very plain, very complete here. Colossians 3, 18, or not, excuse me, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Now, I want us to understand this. Now, this is not a feeling. This is not a feeling love. This is not follow love like Philadelphia love. Loving your brother, loving your neighbor, loving your dog, loving your gun, loving your fishing pole, loving your fishing hole, loving your, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the love that is described as Christ loves us. This is the love we're to love our wife with. Husbands, we are to love our wife, period. It is an active love. It's not, I love you, and blah, blah. It's an active every minute, every second, every split tenth, right down to the minute, and it's not a suggestion. It's not you should. It's a command for the husband to love his wife. If you don't love your wife, then you're not right with God. If you don't love your wife, you don't love God. Let me say it again. If you don't love your wife, you don't love God. We'll say it one more time. If you don't love your wife, you don't love God. You can't. All right. Now, it says, husbands, love your wife. Now, again, it's not just a feeling. Now, this is, we do this with attention. We do this, they need attention. Sure. They need provided for. Sure. They need a lot of things. A woman needs a lot of things that I was never taught to give them. All right. It's been said about me, my love is there, it's just deep. You gotta skin several layers off to find it. Alright? I was compared to Brother Rick when it comes to love. Said, Brother Rick just kind of shows his love, but the preacher's got work gloves on. I'm rough lumber. He's graded lumber. I'm rough lumber. Well, you know why? Because I was raised to be rough lumber. Now, it wasn't that if my daddy ever thought that I would mistreat Cheryl, and my daddy loved Cheryl Ann to death. I mean, he loved her to pieces. If he ever thought that I would mistreat her in any way, then it would not be a good thing. I would not be here. It would be just like I was disobedient home. I mean, that's how. But to see my daddy exercising that softness or that, no, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. Now, most of us raised the same way. Now, did I ever question my daddy loved me? Oh, absolutely not. I didn't go over and hide in the corner and go have get a pill because daddy never hugged me up and said, I love you, honey. Everything. That wasn't my daddy's way. All right? I didn't need a pill for that. All right? I knew. The reason I knew, because he worked 20 hours a day. And because there was always food on the table, and they was always clothes to wear, and the house was always heated, and they was always that I was provided for, and I was protected, and nobody done nothing to me, and my mommy was protected, and my rest of my family was protected, everything was there. I didn't have to ask if he loved me, right? But can I tell you, it may be sometime we're raised too rough that we don't show. Because Christ showed our love, showed his love for us. Am I right? Yeah. See, tell me through the Bible, I've preached it every time I preach on the cross. Tell me every page of the Bible that God loves me, and that's wonderful. Tell me every page, and I can read on every page, every line, God loves me, God loves me. But I never really knew it until I see the cross. And then when I see the cross, then that's proof of God's love because he showed me how much that he loved me. And that's how we are to love them. We need to make sure they see how much, not just say that we love them, but they need to see how much that we love them because that's how Christ loved the church. Are you following me? He purchased the church with his blood and it's got to be shown. Now, what we got to do is we got to get out of our culture and get to be where Christ is our life. Okay? And there's got to be cultural barriers crossed here. Okay? Now, I've told you before, I'll say it again, just for an example. All right, me and Cheryl was raised 15 miles apart. All right, I was raised in Wyoming, she raised in Mount Lookout. But it was almost like I was 100 years before Cheryl. She was raised, I was raised in a coal camp. I was raised in a dwindling coal camp, completely different. She had milk delivered to her house. We didn't even have milk. Okay? She had a place for a garden. We had to dig up rock to plant a garden. I mean, they had fields around our house, and we had railroad tracks and gravel and rock, and we dug around them and planted our garden. That was just differences. All right? They had, and not because they was more wealthy, it was just the way they was raised. They had a different diet. All right? I never knew nothing growing up but fried potatoes and brown beans or white soup bean. All right? Or one day that was just what we eat every day. Well, Cheryl would have it occasionally. All right? There was differences. All right? We never had pop. She never, if she wanted a bottle of pop, she'd either ask for it or they'd give her money. Well, I didn't have, not only did they not buy it in my house, I didn't have money to go buy it myself. 15 miles apart. Completely different. So for us to come together, and we got married and come together, well, they was vast differences. I mean, she seen a squirrel go up a tree, but she had no idea she was going to be frying him. You know? She seen deer and thought they were pretty, but she never had no idea that she was going to be helping me cut them up and freeze them. She didn't have no idea that that's what was going to be done. She didn't have no idea that when I talk about we're going to get fresh chickens, we mean that. That means to her it was they wasn't outdated. To me, it was you go down there and you boil them, get the feathers off of them, and cook a fresh chicken. All right, so there was a vast difference, you understand. Y'all understand that? Some of y'all was the same way. But it was just 15 miles apart. Well, can I tell you, some of us get married and we're more than 15 miles apart. And there's got to be some cultural barriers crossed for us to love like we're supposed to. Lord, do you understand my point tonight? Though we may be raised in the same community, come up in the same church, we went to church together, had the same pastor. Think about that. But that big a difference. Why? Because we're different. All right? So I've got to love her for all. I don't look and try to measure her imperfections. I love her. I have to love her. I'm told to love her. But if I do what I'm supposed to do long enough, then I'll be wanting to do it. All right, but I have no choice in the matter. Are you following me? If I'm going to be right with God, I have to love my wife. It's a command. Now, I don't love her when she's good. I love her, period. I don't love her when she's submissive. I love her, period. I don't love her when she's lovable, because technically she's not lovable. Technically, I'm not lovable. Because why? But Christ, I'm to love her like Christ loves us. Are we all on the same page? So when we look at this, we better make sure that it's not just saying I love you, because it's not. It's not just a word, but it's an active word. Love is never mentioned like this other than a verb being an action word. All right? Always an action word. We okay with that? Guys, we okay with that? All right, now, and we have to be. Now, when we talk about how we love them, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We okay? Are we okay? First Peter chapter 3. And let's start at verse 1, and we're going to get... We're not going to love our wife and not have the wife being submissive. We got to have all this together, because we're loving as Christ loves. So we got to see what Christ loves. Everybody understand? So Christ don't just love the submissive people. He loves unsubmissive people. We okay with that? I think the Bible says he loves sinners. Okay? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Ladies, listen to me now. While they behold your chaste, this is the ladies, your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting to the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of pearl. Now, it didn't say that you ought not dress up and look nice. It says that ain't all that matters. All right? I've seen some dressed up bulldogs that would bite your leg off. Okay? Everybody understand that? So it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, why would that be the hidden man? We're talking about the woman. Well, who is that hidden man in your heart? Christ in you, hope of glory. That is that hidden man in your heart. That's what's supposed to be coming out on you, ladies. We okay? That's that hidden man. See, we're not out of translation here, because there's Christ in us. All right? But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. That's how come I know it's Christ. We okay? Are we all right? We on the scripture, ain't we? But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now that's a little L. All right, it says, don't take the place of God, all right, but it shows the leadership. Everybody follow me. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, look at verse 7. Likewise. Likewise. Now, likewise means that whatever was above, you do also. Okay? Likewise. We okay? Now, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, so we make sure we stay on the same context here. And look at verse 21. Everybody with me? 1 Peter chapter 2, 21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteous, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. All right, we see that. Now look at the first word in chapter 3, verse 1. What's it say? All right, so wives, your first comparison is to Christ also. Okay? Your subjection is right to Christ also. Remember what the words mean. Likewise, it's what just happened. Everybody with me? Now let's look. Pick up at verse 7. Now it just laid the wives out, didn't it? But now look what it says to the husbands. Likewise, ye husbands. Okay? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, who? The wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, we're going to stop there because we want to dwell on this just for a moment. I want us to look in Romans chapter 8. Now, hold your finger there. We're going to come right back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, we want to look at that little word heir. Okay? Now, we want to make sure everybody understands, husbands, it's not the rule. The Bible don't say husbands rule your wife. It says love your wife. It don't say rail on your wife. It says love your wife. It don't say beat your wife. It says love your wife. Any man that beats his wife needs beat. Any man that beats you, let me say it real loud and clear as everybody knows. Any man that beats his wife needs beat really hard and bad around the ears. All right, with a stick. Over, repeatedly. All right, daily. Until he quits it. Everybody understand that. I want to make sure everybody is clear where I stand on that. And I will help. Any man that beats his wife ought to be beat severely around the head and shoulders. Continuously. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now, my first question is, ladies, are y'all Christians?
Yes.
Whose child are you?
God's.
You God's child? Guys, are we Christians?
Yes.
Whose child are we? Look at verse 17. It says, and if children, then what?
Heirs
of who? Heirs of God and what? Join heirs with Christ. Just want you to know that there's no separation when it comes to a husband and a wife or a father and a mother. There's no separation. That we're heirs with God of God, that we're children of God, and there's no big I's or little U's in the family of God. So let's make sure we get that clear. Does everybody understand that? Now let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 7. We still okay? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, we want to look at this now. Now, if we're going to dwell with our wife according to knowledge, according to what knowledge? Well, the knowledge about them. The knowledge about how Christ is loves us and how he dwells with us. And what does the Lord know about us? Is everybody still okay? Now don't forget now, husbands, we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church. Now that's it. We're to love Christ as we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church. So however Christ loves, that's our example. That's it. That's nothing else. Nothing else is satisfactory. That's what it says. If we don't do that, or at least attempt to do that. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect and do it all the time, but that is our goal and that is our standard. Okay? And it says, now, if we're going to live with them according to knowledge, that's what it says here, then we're going to have to be, now, here's a word now, we don't like it, we're going to have to be sensitive. We're going to have to be sensitive. Hey, guys, we're going to have to be sensitive. Now, we don't have to be sensitive to our enemies. We don't have to be sensitive to, that don't mean we got to be sensitive to all the guys at work or nothing like that. We don't have to be. It's not taking our manhood away. It's not making us soft. Huh? Meekness and weakness are two different things. All right? The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible don't command me to be weak. But he does command me to be meek. He commanded me to be sensitive. All right, if I'm sensitive, all right, then I'm. Listen, guys, Listen to me now. We're going to have to be understanding. Now we're going to dwell with them according to knowledge. Okay? We're going to have to be sensitive and we're going to have to be understanding. All right? Now, I tell this to all the couples that I get ready to marry. I have premarital counseling. And I always tell them, I said, now listen, there's going to be days that you're going to come home from work. Tell the husband. I tell the man to get ready to get married. And I'm not being off-caller or crude or anything. This is just fact. There's going to be days you're going to come home from work and your wife's going to meet you with a rose in her teeth and a little tiny robe on. And it's going to be wow. All right? And then the next day you're going to run home thinking it's going to be the same way. And you're going to run home and she's in a corner on the couch covered up with a blanket. And you're going, she's, don't you touch me. That true or not?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, that's no, we got to dwell with them according to knowledge. We're going to have to be sensitive and we're going to have to be understanding. Because that, our mind is just, don't work like that. Right?
Right, amen.
Huh? But yet that's what we're talking about here. Wait a minute, according to knowledge, how about dwelling with them sensitive and understanding? How about considerate? You know, there's a lot of strife in a home because the husband's not considerate to his wife's feelings and needs because we're selfish. We're more interested in what we want. Yeah. We okay? Hey guys, we okay? I'm not asking women amen this. I'm asking us guys. We need to man up a little bit. Okay. We need to, now listen, I know we can't, but we need to try and feel what they feel. Okay? See, it says here, let's read what the scripture said now. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, we just left the scripture where it says, that, and be not bitter against them, correct? In Colossians 3, 19, husband, love your wife and be not bitter against them. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Talk to me, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
All right? Be not bitter against them. But it says, honor them. Honor them. Not be bitter against them. Honor them. See, we go and work on a job. Now, this is how it used to be. Everybody works now. But it used to be, man went home and worked on a job. He come home and he wanted everything. And in fact, you see some of the old pictures and stuff, you know. In fact, I was thinking of the magazine that they give. I used to have it. I may have it on my phone saved in a... But it had how a woman was supposed to be when the husband got home. She's supposed to have her Sunday dress on and have supper ready and be there to have her husband's slippers and everything, you know, when he come home just to, and the husband just comes in and he can growl and throw stuff and do everything. Oh, you've had such a hard day, you know. And I thought, that's really silly. But what men forget is you've just been putting up with grown men. On a job, maybe in a piece of equipment, not even have to talk to somebody if you didn't have the CB on. Okay? Out by yourself working. All right, you come home and you forget that your wife had to do laundry, had to chase a kid, had to take care of the dog that was in the house, and the cat was in the house, had to answer the phone, had to make sure the groceries were there, supper was ready, the laundry was done, the beds is made, the kids is taken care of, and until they get so old, the kids are under their feet, and anybody knows that if you're 10 hours with kids under your feet, they're going to have a patience problem because they got to stop and they got to hold the baby. The baby cries and this, and then the baby dirties itself. And then right when you're getting ready for supper, they don't just dirty themselves. They dirty themselves up to their ears all the way up their back. And then you got to clean all of them. You got to put them in the bathtub and you got to do that. And then supper's ready and you got to hurry and you got to do this. And then you come in and you want everything. The husbands want everything to be just right. And we're not dwelling with them according to knowledge. If we say any out of the way word, we're wrong. What we ought to do is come in and see where we can help. because we forget. Now, some ladies are worthless. Some are worthless mothers, and some are worthless wives, and they got a dirty house, and they don't clean, they don't cook supper, and they let the husband fend for himself, and love them anyway. Love them anyway. You chose them. Love them anyway. Love them anyway. And help them, and maybe they'll get better. We okay, guys? We okay? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And she is weaker. She is weaker. Now, this ain't going to be 100%, but if I bring Tyler Griffith up here, all you ladies line up, and I doubt any of us going to beat him in arm wrestling. I just have a doubt. Somebody's going to give me a pretty good go at it, but I doubt very seriously if any of you ladies is going to beat Tyler Griffith arm wrestling. You're why? Because you're the weaker vessel. You're weaker physically. All right? If a bird hits a window, oh, that little bird. And a guy will say, maybe the cat will get it. So, the wife is weaker emotionally. You follow me? Huh? We're made different. We're made different so we can be on the wall protecting our home. If we get wounded, we don't say, it'll be all right. I don't need that arm anyway. Okay? That's how a man's made, as a protector. And he's stronger physically and he's stronger emotionally. And we got to remember our wives ain't like us. Things that don't bother us does bother them. Things that we can shake off, they can't. Things we forget, which is everything. They remember everything. If you don't believe it, argue. Get in one argument and they'll remember every argument that you've had since you courted. They'll remember everything they told you to do that you didn't do. Huh? Right or wrong? Love them anyhow. As being, now this is where I wanted to get to, and we're going to quit right here. And as being what? Being what? Well, where do we start this verse at? We started this verse in Romans, didn't we? Being heirs together and joint heirs with Christ. We better not forget that we are heirs together in the home. She's my sister and my wife. She was my sister before she was my wife. Are you listening to me? She was my sister in the Lord before she was my wife. We're heirs together. And our heirs of life. And can I go ahead and tell you, I give you this, and that heirs together, that grace of life. Marriage is that hot fudge on a Sunday, just so you'll know. That's what marriage is. Huh? Marriage ain't a ball and chain. That's that hot fudge on a Sunday. We'll see you Sunday. How about that? We quit right there.